This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Join us this week as we delve into the world of points and miles with expert Allison Tackett, also known as Lucky Tic Tac. From scoring first-class flights to Japan to navigating the best hotel upgrades, Allison shares her top strategies and tools for maximizing your travel rewards. Learn how to efficiently accumulate points, avoid common pitfalls, and find the best redemption deals. Discover the secrets behind turning everyday purchases into unforgettable travel experiences. Plus, hear about Allison's ambitious 12 and 12 series, where she's tackling 12 new airline products, 12 hotels, and 12 countries in just 12 months. Expect detailed tips on route research, using point search engines, and optimizing your travel plans. Don't miss this treasure trove of travel tips and inspiration.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome, everybody, to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. I am your host, DeAndre Koch, and I've got an expert today in the points and miles game that I am super, super, super excited for you to hear from. But before we introduce her, I got a quick favor to ask you. If you've been enjoying our content and our episodes, please take a moment to visit our show's page on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify and leave us a 5-star rating and review. That absolutely helps us continue to get our content out to more people who are looking to revolutionize their own travels and their own journeys. So today I want to go ahead and introduce Allison Tackett. And she is an expert in the points and miles space. And actually, when I asked the Point Sisters, if you remember that amazing episode on how to do around the world travel with an around the world ticket, they actually gave her a shout out and said, you got to have her on the show. And we actually had already had this coordinated. So I'm super excited to have her here today. Allison, I'm excited to glean some of your knowledge and wisdom in the points and miles space. So welcome, welcome, welcome to the show.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Let's dive in and drop some knowledge.
Awesome. Let's do that. So let's get a little bit of background on you, Allison. So where in the world are you? What is it that you do for a living? And I know your handle is Lucky Tic Tac. And so I'm super curious because of pretty much everyone in the points and miles space, they have either points, miles, or something in their title and their handles. Outside of perhaps me, that represents the brand of a brand that we've created, Boldly Go, right? So it's really unique that you are at Lucky Tic Tac. So I'd love to hear your background, but also there's got to be a story behind Lucky Tic Tac.
Yeah, so I'm actually based in Columbus, Ohio, okay? So a little Midwest person, but I used to live in Dallas for the longest time. I miss Dallas. I actually miss the heat, sadly, which I don't really know why I would miss the heat. But now that I don't get those 100-degree weather days, I miss them. But also, you know, those nonstop flights everywhere. I miss that for sure.
I was going to say that the nonstop flights have got to, I would weigh that a little bit higher than Texas heat, but you know, you got to do you, Allison.
You know, I lived in Texas for a vast majority of my life, so I got used to the heat, and now it like gets down to like freezing and it snows up here in Ohio and I'm like dying as soon as it drops below like 80 degrees at this point in my life.
Got it.
So, that's fair. Yeah, so you were asking about why my handle is Lucky Tic Tac. And I wish there was like a really crazy story behind it, but no, there's not. When I originally started posting on like Instagram, I was just like, I quit my job because I didn't want to work at a university anymore. And I was like in the process of moving back to Ohio and I was just bored. So I just started posting like random things that I thought about on Instagram when it came to like points and miles. And it kind of like cascaded from there. But I originally started the Instagram as just like a personal thing. And it kind of just stems from back when I was in the military. I used to be in the Army. And when I was going to like AIT, which is like the school version of the Army before you go into like your first unit and everything, it's like right after basic. You couldn't have gum. And the only mints that they sold was like Tic Tacs. So I used to carry around a box of Tic Tacs because I just don't like stinky breath. So I'm like always popping mints and everything. So I used to just carry around a box of mints and everyone called me Tic Tac. And that's how the handle started.
Got it. I love that. And appreciate your service as well. That's awesome. And in the financial planning space, I have a very large client base that are military, primarily Navy, since I'm out here in Virginia Beach. But a lot of military spread out all over the country. So definitely appreciate the service that you did. So you said that you were kind of moving, back to Ohio, wanting to get out of the university space. So before we get into the whole points and miles things, what is it that you do for work now?
So right now I'm a professional award booker. Okay. I use the word professional because, kind of sounds more professional, I guess. But yeah, I actively spend, 8-10 hours of my day, 12 hours of my day searching for award flights, teaching people how to use their points and miles, earn points and miles as well. So I have no hobbies. Points and miles is my hobby now, or my work.
That's awesome. You turn your passion into your job, right? So that means that you got to love what you do and you get to benefit from the travel aspects of it. So that's a perfect segue into why we are connecting, because I am ready to just capture some of your knowledge. And so, Allison, how did you get into the points and miles space? Was this something that you just dove right in? I mean, did you start kind of the trend that I see a lot of people do is they kind of get a card and they realize there's more to it. So how did you get into that space? And would love to talk through the evolution of how that's going so far.
Oh man, what a loaded question for sure. So I first found out about points and miles just like from a Google search. Okay. I was trying to plan a trip with my friends and meet up with them around Easter time. And the flights were just so expensive that it like, for me as a teacher and him like right out of college, we couldn't afford it. So we just canceled the trip. So I got like upset and I literally Googled how to fly for free. And that took me to like, I think Frequent Miler and TPG. And I really just dove right in with like a zero chill and zero like questions about it. Got my first card, then got my second one 30 days later. And then I got my third card 60 days after I learned about it. So I just dove right in. And a big focus, like when I first started, was just learning how to earn points and miles, because that's all I cared about at the time. I used the expression, I was hoarding my points like a squirrel getting ready for hibernation. I don't even think squirrels hibernate, but like a bear trying to get ready for hibernation, right?
Yeah, got it. So do you recall what were your first three cards when you started in this world? What were the three cards that you focused on in that first 60-day window?
Yeah, my first three cards, the first one was the Chase Sapphire Reserve, because I was like, I'm going to force myself to travel a lot, so I'm going to get this higher annual fee card with benefits. I did actually travel, so I did actually get value out of that card for the first time. I still have that, well, I downgraded it and reapplied for it now. So I still have a Sapphire Reserve technically. Second card I got was the Chase Freedom Unlimited, which I wouldn't recommend most people try and do as their second card. And then the third card I got was the Marriott. I think it was the Premier at the time. And now it would be considered the Marriott Boundless.
Nice. So actually your first two cards were my first two cards. So same exact thing. I got the Chase Sapphire Reserve. I got it like the first or second month after it came out. So back when it initially opened with that 100,000 point signup bonus. So got that. And I actually applied for the Freedom Unlimited on the same day. So I got both of them at the same point. So I would agree, probably not the Freedom Unlimited would be the one that I have someone early in the game getting. But it worked, especially because the way I looked at it was, hey, I can just kind of spend all of my travel and dining on one card and then everything else on the Freedom Unlimited, which gives you 1.5 times, and then combine them to use them. So that's how I started myself. So I love that you started in a similar fashion. Then you branched off into the Marriott world. So that's where you started. And at this stage, I mean, I know at this point, right, especially when you've been in the game for a while, it's always a mixture. It's always different things kind of popping up here or there, kind of chasing the next deal, plus focusing on one card at a time. What would you say at this stage today are maybe some of your favorite cards or what you're focused on kind of right now as we are, you know, midway through the year in 2024?
Ooh, my favorite cards. I think my favorite card and probably my most used card is going to be the American Express Gold Card, because it gives you that 4 points per dollar on dining worldwide and then 4 points per dollar on US groceries, which is like 50% of all of my spend personally is just food related items. So 4 points per dollar, can't pass that up. And then as like my other daily driver card, I go back and forth between a couple. It's either going to be the Freedom Unlimited for that flat 1.5x on all purchases, the Blue Business Plus for 2 points per dollar on everything with American Express, and then the Capital One Venture X for 2 points per dollar. And I switch interchangeably between those three cards depending on how many points I have with Chase and American Express. If I'm sitting pretty good with them, usually my baseline is about 200,000 points I like to keep on hand between Chase and Amex, then I'll shift to my Capital One and boost that up. But I use my Chase and Amex points more than I use my Capital One points. So I'm a little bit, I want to keep those on hand a lot.
Same. I'm the exact same way. So question for you, actually, what would you feel like? So you said 200K for Chase, 200K for Amex. Do you have a number that you try to get to or that you're building to in the Capital One side, or a floor per se in the Capital One side? And I know, like, you know, if you're focused on the other two, you're probably not really as focused on Capital One, but do you have a target or a floor for Capital One?
I really don't. Honestly, for Capital One, just because I only have that one Capital One Venture X card. I don't have any other Capital One cards. I should probably get some just to like get some more points, but it's not a main focus of mine building Capital One points. So anytime I'm like at my base with Chase and Amex, I'll just shift to Capital One. That way I'm boosting points there and I eventually will be able to use them up.
Very cool. Very cool. So Allison, let's talk. I know you do a lot of travel yourself. You're a professional award booker, so you're booking award travel. I would love to start talking through some top places, destinations that you've been to yourself, and not just destinations, but hotels, airline experiences, right? So we'll start with destinations first and keep it easy, right? Where has been one of your favorite places that you've used points and miles to get to? And it can be somewhere super exotic, or it could be something a little closer to home, but we'd love to hear what was one of your favorite redemptions for points and miles to go somewhere.
I'm going to give you two. I'm going to give you my favorite international, and then I'm going to give you my favorite domestic one.
Let's do
it. Actually. So my favorite international one's probably going to be Japan. There's just so much that country offers, whether or not it's in the city or outside the cities, and every little area is totally different. You've got the modern side, you've got, you know, the more historical side. I love the difference between the modern and the historical. You're walking around with skyscrapers and then all of a sudden you turn a corner and you've got a temple there, right? So that's going to be my international one. My domestic one, I'm going to go with Alila Ventana Big Sur, which I know everybody likes to talk about. The hotel is absolutely incredible, and like Big Sur is incredible as well. But just, you know, like I took my aunt there and she still talks about it. And it's been like 6 years since we went. So that's why it's like one of my favorite domestic place destinations.
Got it. Okay. So Leela and Big Sur and then Japan as a country overall. So how many times have you been to Japan? I'm curious. Was it like a one-time thing or do you try to go back? Have you been back a few times?
I've been there twice now. The first time I just did like the Osaka, Kyoto area. And then the next time I went, I just did Tokyo. And I'm trying to get back eventually this year as well.
Okay. Well, what was the flight experiences? Are you using the points for the, you know, upgraded business class, first class experience? Are you more of the, you know what, I can settle with economy, kind of keep the points lower and have more points to spend elsewhere on other trips?
I find myself kind of going back and forth between like, I want those upgraded first class and business class, but I'm also not going to complain if I'm flying economy, so long as I'm not in the middle seat, because that would be an absolute nightmare for me. I'm team aisle person all the time, just for the record, because aisles are better, in my opinion. But yeah, so the first time I went, I flew Japan Airlines first class on their old first class product. So that was like an incredible experience. It was actually one of the first products I learned about when I got into Points and Miles. And it was like the top target that I wanted to do, but it took me forever to do it just because I was like, ended up always doing something else instead of that. Only cost 80,000 AA miles and $5.60 to fly. And I did JFK to Haneda. Cannot complain about that at all, considering I think that flight was going for like just under 10K for that one-way flight when I booked it, you know, $5.60 or $10,000. I don't know about you, but I don't have $10,000 sitting around for one flight.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that's an incredible redemption. Absolutely incredible. I mean, 80,000 points, because it could have been $5 and like 400,000 points, right? But like 80,000 points and $5, absolutely any day of the week would take that.
Yep. And then originally I was supposed to fly Japan Airlines business class on the way back, but I actually found Japan Airlines first class opened up again. I think it was like the day before departure. So I canceled and rebooked into first class the day before. So I flew the old product back. So I'm going to try and get on their business. I think I actually have the new business class booked later this year. So I'm super stoked for that. And then the other time I went to Japan, I actually flew economy from Seoul to Tokyo, because it was like $300 for that flight. And I was like, $300, 4 hours ish.
Oh yeah. That's not a long haul flight.
We'll be fine.
Absolutely. That makes sense. Okay. Yeah. Perfect. So, go ahead.
I was trying to think about what I flew the next when I left Japan, but I don't remember when I flew.
No worries. Well, let me ask you this. Was the first class Japan experience the top of, you would say, of your airline flight experiences? Or do you think you've experienced something on whether it's Emirates or Cathay or any other place that has, you think, actually elevated beyond that?
I'm going to be honest. It's my favorite flight that I've taken. And I think that's just because like it was like the top aspirational thing that I wanted to do. It's not going to be quite as good as like Qatar Q Suites or Etihad or Emirates, but it's still like one of the best ways to get to and from Japan, in my opinion. And that's factoring it in some of the other airlines that fly to Japan as well.
Very cool. So Allison, as you're doing these travels yourself, right? And then you're working with people, you're coaching them, they're paying you to help coach and book award travel and all these different things, which we want to make sure we get all your info at the end of this about doing that. What are the typical tips? How do you direct someone as far as how to start focusing on whether cards or loyalty programs? Because there's so much information out there, right? And you could start in so many different areas. How do you usually recommend someone get started in the Points and Miles game? And then what are the resources that you like to use yourself to really start thinking through how to actually use all these points that someone's accumulated?
Yeah, that's a great question. So my like top tip when you're first like getting into like points and miles is focus on the flexible transferable points. Okay. So points with Chase, Amex, Capital One, Citi. Okay. We want to focus earning all those points rather than program specific miles, like with Delta or American Airlines or Marriott, Hilton, right? Because once your points are in that like airline or hotel program, you're locked in for the most part. Yes, there are some instances where you can transfer them to like other airlines, but for 99% of people, it's going to be a terrible value to do that. So you focus on those key points, Chase, Amex, Capital One, Citi, and that's going to get you to 99% of the places worldwide that you want to go to. And once you have a really solid base of those transferable points, that's when you can start considering those program specific miles with like American Airlines, because American Airlines miles are really valuable for those international redemptions and even domestic redemptions as well. But you can also book American Airlines flights through like British Airways as well, which you can transfer to British Airways from all four banks, right? So those flexible points are going to be like the key way to unlock your ability to travel for almost free or at least cheaper.
Nice. Very nice. So I have now accumulated all of these points. I have started with my transferable card. I've got the Chase. I've got the Amex. I've built up points. How do I figure out how to use them? What are the resources that you like to use and that for booking your own travels, but also when someone comes to you and says, hey, I've got this bank of points, I want to go wherever location, what's your typical process? You know, do you use the general search engines? Do you use the more technical tools like Seats.Aero? Like what, all of the above, what's your usual strategy?
This is a great question. This was actually the topic of my presentation at Travelmore last year, was like the points tools that are like worth actually using. And then I also like touched on ones that I'm like, I don't understand why people even talk about these anymore, because they're not even worthwhile and they're just like a waste of time. I avoid actively anytime I'm trying to do like route research. And I always like to do route research first when I'm looking at a destination I'm trying to go to, because it's going to tell me who flies into that airport, right? If I'm trying to get into a very specific airport and only, let's just say, United flies into that airport. Well, if I spend my time earning or even trying to redeem Delta miles, it's going to be a waste of my time. And I'm just going to get frustrated because I'll never be able to use my Delta miles. So that's where that route research comes into handy. And I hate looking at Google Flights when I'm talking about using points, because Google Flights, I think, gives like the wrong impression. For people first starting out in points and miles, it gives you this impression, okay, this flight exists. Why can't I actually use my points for this flight, right? So I actively try and avoid that. And also, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but in Google Flights, sometimes they'll combine like tickets, right, with airlines that don't even partner. So I've seen it sometimes where it'll be like, well, I can fly American Airlines from point A to point B, and then I'll get a separate ticket with Frontier to point C, from B to C. And you can't use your points for that. So it just kind of just muddies the understanding of what you can use points for. So instead, for my route research, I like to use flight connections, because that's going to show you all the nonstop destinations you can fly from an airport to an airport. It's going to tell you the days of the week that they fly as well, because some routes are only, you know, two or three times a week versus every day. If you're only searching on one specific day, you're never going to find that flight because they don't fly that date. So that's why that route research comes in handy. And then I do like to use some of the points aggregators, because it just helps find stuff versus trying to log into every transfer partner's website, which I still do that because I've been doing this for so long that I learned the hard way. So when they first started coming out with like Point Me, I actively avoided it just because I was just so used to like logging into the websites and doing everything manually.
The old-fashioned way.
The old-fashioned way.
Back in your day, hiking to school, uphill through snow, both ways. Yeah, got it.
Yeah. So I use Point.me as like a check my work type thing. I might have found something through a search that I find, and I might run that same route just to make sure that that transfer partner is the ideal transfer partner and it's going to save me points, right? Just because, you know, you might find it, let's just say 60,000 points on Air Canada, but there might be a transfer bonus from, you know, Chase to, I don't know, Air France or something, or even let's just say United. There's never been one to United, but I'm just using that in this example. And I might end up saving points by utilizing United versus Air Canada in that situation. So that's why I like to use those like Point.me just to see, to make sure I'm not wasting points. But by far my favorite points tool is Seats.Aero. Just the amount of flexibility that you can do with that search region to region, which is great if you're someone that has tons of flexibility in your destination. Even if you don't have flexibility in your destination, maybe you've got flexibility in your dates. So instead of running five searches, you could run one search that's going to cover multiple dates, multiple different airlines, multiple different transfer partners as well. So it just makes it go quicker for that as well with Seats.Aero.
Hey, it's DeAndre here, and we're going to interrupt this episode real quick to tell you about two great opportunities for all of you. First, join our private Facebook community to connect with fellow points and miles enthusiasts, get exclusive tips and updates, as well as get your questions answered directly by me and others in the community. And if you're looking to level up your points and mile skills, we've partnered with Lux Travel Hacks to offer you 50% off their online course that will teach you all the basics you need to know to learn how to travel in business or first class, all for less than you'd pay for economy. Don't forget to use the code BOLDLYGO at checkout. You'll find all the details and links to both of these in the show notes. Now, let's get back to our episode. So I've got to ask, and I think it's completely possible that you'll say, no, I've not even touched these because of the fact that you've had your systems in place and your processes in place for so long. But within the last year, we've had the inclusion of like Rome and Points, which I actually use a lot myself, that one. And then now there's Points Path, which integrates with Google Chrome. And have you had a chance to try any of these? Do you have any opinions on them? Or did you have you said, you know what, I've got my systems. If it's not broke, don't fix it. And you just focus on, which I mean, Seats.Aero is a phenomenal tool. Obviously, it's one of the best out there. But have you tried seeing if these other ones kind of fit what you're looking for as well?
Yeah, 100%. When both of those first launched, Rome and Points.yeah, I did play around with those pretty significantly just to see what it was showing and how that would be different than Point.me and Seats.Aero. I have a subscription to Points.me, so that's why I like tend to use that one a little bit more just because I'm already paying for it. But I do frequently just go back to the other points tools and just see how they've changed, because I'm not naive to think that one tool is going to rule them all. They all have their place. They're all going to provide value in some shape or form. So no reason just to say, hey, this one's absolutely trash just because it didn't work on that one time you tried to use it.
I absolutely agree with you there. I was using Point.me as well a lot. I actually transitioned to Points.yeah for a few reasons. Their speed of searching is much faster. The ability to do a date range, the ability to search multiple airports for both your destination and your origin. So from a positioning standpoint, you can kind of plan around that. So that's why I liked it. But I did find when I still had the dual subscription, because my Point.me had not run out yet, I went back to Point.me to look up like a specific day, and it pulled flights that Points.yeah did not show. Right. And so I completely agree with you that there's definitely options out there. And there's nothing that's perfect. There's pros and cons. Now, going back to Flight Connections real quick, because I do use that tool as well. I subscribe to it. Do you mind chatting real briefly about the difference between the free version of Flight Connections and why it's helpful to pay for it?
I don't actually pay for the pro version of Flight Connections, to be honest, just because the information that I want from it in terms of who's flying to and from a destination and what days is extremely helpful. And it's like 99% of the information that I want from there. But I will say there are some really great features with Flight Connections if you have the pro version. So you can search for specific fare classes that you want. So if you only want to fly first class from the US to, let's just say, Europe, you can filter out all of the options that are not first class. You can also filter by like specific aircraft types as well. So if you really want to fly the 747 or you really want to fly the A380, you can filter for that. So that's really helpful. And some people might find some value from that. But I also kind of just get that information from Google Flights to see, especially if I'm trying to look for one specific aircraft type.
No, I think that's fair. Where I found it helpful to pay for specifically was the fact that we do accumulate between my fiance and I a lot of American miles. And when we were looking at trying to find the best redemption, it was, I think, coming back from either Bali or the Maldives or both. I can't remember. Basically, the ability to filter through Alliance to see, well, what airlines are part of the One World Alliance that can get us through to Bali and Doha and such. And that way we can kind of figure out the itinerary. So I think the filtering, like you said, makes it hugely valuable. And I think the subscription was like $120 lifetime. So it really wasn't bad at all. But I was using it for the free version for the longest time until I got capped where I couldn't figure out the Alliance. And I was like, okay, I kind of need this now. But I love that you use it as well. And you get, you found your resources, right? Whether you want to filter it by plane type, you use a different process. So I think there's a lot of things that can be done in this world that's you can do completely free without subscribing to anything. It takes a lot more work, obviously, but you can also kind of fast track it as well if you just want to kind of pay for those perks, which is great. So you love seats.aero, and that allows you to really search by region, do a lot of different things. Do you also love rooms.aero on the hotel side?
I don't love it just because I don't like the interface that it shows the information in, okay? It just makes it harder for me when it's like line by line. The interface doesn't work for me for rooms.aero, but there are other tools out there that like help with finding hotels, and that's going to be like Max My Point, Open Hotel Night, or Open Hotel Room, Open Hotel Night, one of those. And then Stay With Points. Those are the three most popular ones that people are using. But I like Max My Point better for hotel nights.
Got it. Very nice. And so question, what would you suggest or what have been some either pitfalls or mistakes that either you've made or you've seen people make before coming to you in the points and miles world that you kind of strived and admonish the listeners to avoid?
Oh man, there are a lot of pitfalls. Like the one pitfall that I think us as points creators tend to provide to people and the consumers of our content is we'll say, hey, I just booked this flight for X amount of miles. And it makes it seem that we spent about 5 minutes looking for this flight and booked the flight, right? And I don't think that's intentional at all by any creator. I think it's just not talked about enough how much research and time goes into searching for flights, right? So I just booked Starlux business class, and I'm super stoked to do that here in a couple of weeks. But I was on seats.aero on a plane searching for this just because I'm officially at the point where I'm crazy and searching for flights on a flight. I saw it. I literally booked it on the flight. It took all of 5 minutes from the time I saw it on seats.aero till I had my confirmation email. But I had spent months with a tracker monitoring this and then self-monitoring for Starlux business class because I really, really, really wanted to target it, right? So, you know, again, it may have taken me 5 minutes to book it once I saw it, but I spent months monitoring this one flight. So I wish that was one thing that consumers of points content understood is it's not going to be you'd search one time and the flight is going to be there, right? Especially when you're talking about peak travel, the likelihood of your first search being successful is very unlikely. You're probably going to have to spend some time monitoring for flights to have a successful search, especially if you're doing premium cabins, business and first class, you're probably not going to have the options. The other pitfall I think people do is they'll like do a little bit of research and find out what the best transfer partners are and what the pricing will be. So I'll just use this as an example. You want to go to Europe from the US, you might find that it's supposed to cost you 50,000 flying blue miles to fly business class one way. So you go, oh, great. I'm going to go transfer my points. Let's just say you got a family, you're trying to take two people on this flight. That would be 200,000 points that you need, which is great because coincidentally you have 200,000 Chase points on hand. So you immediately transfer your points. You go to search for flights. Let's just say you live in New York, you do New York to Amsterdam is what you're trying to get to. But when you run that search, you see it's actually costing 400,000 points for that one flight or the round trip, right? And now your points are locked in to that one program and you're just going to have to wait for that pricing to drop. So I think that's the other pitfall is just run some searches before you start transferring your points to see what that pricing is. If you're not sure what the pricing is, if that pricing is good, do a quick search online to see what you should expect to pay for that route and that program as well.
I absolutely love that because you're absolutely right in all the things that you've said. But also for the person that's new to this and they search, they might not realize that if they're searching to leave out today, it could be 250,000 points for business class. And just by changing the date to tomorrow, it could drop down to 75,000. And so that first search people can get just disheartened when they're like, oh, man, it's gonna take me forever to get these. People say, oh, it's only 50,000 miles to go here or there. Like I'm not finding these things. And I think you're exactly right. I mean, when I think about our trip to Singapore and Bali, which is coming up here in a few weeks, we are going to, I mean, it took me weeks of searching and trying to find the right redemptions. And of course, after I finally found it and booked and transferred points and did everything, like the week after is when almost all the airlines I used all came out with transfer bonuses. And I was like, come on, right? Like Flying Blue, just all of them. I was like, this is ridiculous, but you know, it happens, right? So we win some, we lose some. Ultimately, we're still gonna be flying in first or business class, long haul travel. Could have saved a good amount of points, but still, I completely understand that, you know, there's a lot of headaches that are behind the scenes that, when we just say, oh, we booked this, it doesn't reveal the full story. So I love that you pointed that out.
Yeah, it's that was my breakfast thought a couple weeks ago, just like eating breakfast. I don't want people to get disheartened the first time they try and like redeem their points, because then you start to think, oh, this is a scam. You say I can use 60,000 points for this flight, but really it's like 200,000 points right now when I'm looking at points and miles is a scam. No, it's not a scam. You just got to practice some patience. Wait for the pricing to drop, and then you'll be good to go. Once you make that first redemption, though, it's all worth it.
Yeah, then you're hooked. So, Alyssa, I know you started the year by talking about the fact that you were going to do a 12 and 12 series. And so I know from what you posted, you said, hey, the 12 and 12 series is going to be 12 hotels, 12 airline products, 12 new countries, all in 12 months. And so we're a little past halfway through the year. I'm curious, How is it going? Because that sounds both awesome and kind of insane at the same time. So love to hear how it's going and what's the adventure been like so far?
It's definitely exciting and a bit crazy at the same time. I feel like I should tell the story about why I came up with that first, because I was actually in Prague last December and I ended up getting sick and I was just like laying in bed with like a fever. And I was like, man, travel isn't fun in that moment because I was sick. I mostly solo travel, so I was by myself. I don't like being sick in general, and I definitely don't like being sick when I'm traveling. So I just was like, man, like I don't even want to travel home because I don't want to get on a plane because it wasn't exciting to me. So I was just trying to think of things that I can do while I was traveling to make it more fun, because otherwise, like I had been finding myself last year flying the same products over and over again, just because that's how it was working out for the redemptions that I was doing. So I was like, what if I tried this like 12 and 12 type thing where I just try and like force myself to have new experiences throughout the year. So I came up with that 12 and 12, like you mentioned, 12 new airline products. So I can fly an airline again, but it has to be on a different plane type, right? So I can do Lufthansa business class on a 747 and that counts. But if I fly Lufthansa business class on the A380, that also counts. But I can't do the 747 twice because that doesn't count. 12 new countries. So force myself to go to new places, have new experiences, experience new cultures. And then 12 new hotels, which I knew was going to be the easiest part for that. And then in 12 months, the plan was to try and do one once a month. And I was trying to like straddle it at the beginning and the end of the month, because then it was like, that's technically one per month. But it hasn't really worked out that way, at least in timing. Actually haven't taken a long haul flight since like early May. So I'm itching to get back up there. So I'm going out with a bang. I actually had to go back and look up everything, what I had done so far this year, because I had kind of forgot about it. So let's see, I've got 4 of my flights accomplished and they were all going to Europe, oddly. I'll have 2 more, at least 2 more. So about halfway done here in the next couple of weeks. The hotels I've already crushed, I'm at 12. Already, because I was just bopping around to different places in the same city.
And now for the hotels, is it literally just a different hotel, or does it have to be different branded hotels, like an Alila versus a Hyatt Ziva versus Grand Hyatt versus a Park Hyatt, or is it just literally 12 different hotels?
It's just 12 different hotels. That would be like super hard, honestly, especially with like Hyatt. Almost always stay at a Hyatt property. I don't think I've stayed at a non-Hyatt property this year. So I tend to like to stay at like Hyatt Regencies and Grand Hyatts because they have the clubs that usually have snacks and like dinner stuff. So it's like one less meal I have to pay for when I'm traveling. So that would be really hard if it was like 12 different hotel brands. But I don't know, maybe I should try that next year and try 12 different hotel brands.
I mean, you can mix it up, right? Hyatt, Marriott, yeah. IHG, you know, we can mix it up a little bit, but I was just curious if how granular we're getting. But okay, I know I cut you off there. So you've done all the hotels. What about countries?
Countries, I've done Portugal, Turkey, Sweden, Montenegro, and then I've got Taiwan and Malaysia coming up next month. So about halfway done with the countries as well. About halfway through the year. So I'm on track to finish everything. But if you see me come December, just stay in a couple nights and bopping around the places, you know, it's because I haven't accomplished it yet.
Got it. Now the countries that you are going to, or that the 7 that you just named, have you been to any of those before, or are all of those brand new countries for you?
They're all brand new countries. So it was when I came up with it, it essentially was anything that I'd done in the past is already been done. It's not going to count. So I've done a couple of overnights in like Germany this year just to like position in Europe. That didn't count because I'd been to Germany, the UK as well. So it's just only first time visits that are counting for the countries.
Got it. Well, as we start to wrap up, Allison, I'd love to hear, so of those countries or any of these flights or hotel stays that you had in as part of this 12 in 12 series that you're doing, which I think is absolutely incredible, what would you say were either one or two of the most memorable experiences, whether it was the new airline product or it was the country or it was the hotel? What has been just a one or two of the most memorable aspects that you've captured for this year?
So at least as far as the flight products, I'm going to go with the Virgin Atlantic business class. Okay. I flew on their A330-900neos, which is their newer planes. And they're the ones with the individual suites with the doors on planes, which was really exciting because it's much, much better than their old like coffin style suites. And I call them the coffin style suites because they're like angled and they're the walls are short. You can literally look up and like see someone sitting next to you. So it's just kind of awkward.
Yeah, it's super awkward. We flew that back from the Maldives in December. Now, granted, or January, granted, hey, it's business class. We're flying back from the Maldives. We're having drinks. There's actually a bar on the plane. But it is weird because like your back is to the window, angled into the middle of the plane, and you're literally like looking across the aisle from the person across from you that they're also looking at you. And if you have someone you're traveling with, you have to like peer over the wall to talk to them. It's just, yeah, it's not a great design at all. There are worse things in the world, right? There's definitely first world problems. Also the fact that the bed itself, you have to get out of it fully to turn it into a bed. You can't just recline back. So again, I digress because these are a mini rant. Loved Virgin, didn't like their design. So sorry, keep going.
Yeah, it's just a bad design. Air New Zealand has the same design for their stuff as well. And it's just not the greatest product. But I loved the new Virgin Atlantic product. The service was great as well on the flight. The food was great. I don't even remember what I got, but it was good, whatever I got. So I would definitely fly that again. The taxes and fees suck. But, you know, if I'm going to pay $1,200 or $1,000 in taxes and fees instead of $6,000, I'd rather pay the $1,000 than $6,000 and have a good service. And then for the hotel, I don't know, man. I think I would go with the Hyatt Regency Couture Bay that I did out in Montenegro. They gave me a sick upgrade because I'm a Hyatt Globalist. So I ended up getting a one bedroom apartment, like right on the water. It was a 3-floor villa with a rooftop, like sitting area and a plunge pool out there. It was absolutely sick. If you guys want to check it out, I posted a review on my Instagram. So you'll definitely have to check it out. It took me like a minute to walk. I think the video, the reel is like a minute long and I had to speed it up to hit a minute because the place was just that massive. So that was a sick upgrade I got there. So I really enjoyed that. And if you've never been to Montenegro, that's a great place as well. Don't go to Couture during the summer though, even though it's like the perfect time to go. It's just so many people are there and traffic sucks. You'll spend an hour trying to go 5 miles because of the roads.
Got it. Got it. Well, Allison, appreciate all the wisdom, the ideas, love the 12 and 12 series, all the strategies that you've shared. Would love as we start to wrap up here, I know you have your award booking service, you help coach, you have great content, you do reviews, you do all the things. Where can the listeners connect with you? What's the best way? What's the best way for them to work with you if they want your help in booking award travel, since you are a professional award booker? What's the best way for listeners to connect with you, Allison?
The best way to connect to me with me is on Instagram at Lucky Tic Tac. That's where I hang out the most. But I also have a website, awardtravelvacations.com, which you can check out and get either to the coaching services or the award booking service as well.
Perfect. So we will link to both of those in the show notes. And I know that you said that you spoke at the Travel More Conference last year, and you're going to be speaking again at Travel More Conference this year. And my fiance Taryn and I will be there. So excited to see you, get to meet you in person, get to get more knowledge from you and network as well, and have some fun between the events. So, absolutely, absolutely love what you had for us today. Allison, I've got two last questions for you. The first question is, who else should we invite on the show?
I'm going to go with Mariah, points for the memories. I love what she's doing with her points domestically, because she likes to focus on going to national parks and using her points to make that happen. And I think that's super unique and incredible. And I wish more people focused on domestic stuff versus the international stuff, because you can get a lot of value of your points domestically. But trying to use them for national parks, that's unique. And I love watching her stories and reels when she's talking about using her points for that.
Awesome. We'll try to connect with her and hopefully get her on a future episode. Allison, before we wrap up, any final thoughts from you before we go?
Points and miles is fun, everyone. Don't be so stressed out with trying to use your points for just like the flashy stuff in business and first class. If you want to fly economy and just go see grandma and grandpa, that's cool too. Or you want to take that epic bucket list trip where you all are balling out in the overwater villas, that's cool too. Just make sure you get value out of your points and you're not going through the portal.
Awesome. Well, Allison, thank you so much for joining our episode today. I love all the wisdom that you dropped. I love talking about your strategies, the tools that you use, going about it the old-fashioned way. I love that you have a service where you help people do this as well. And I know that you've got so much more that we could share, but we won't want to make this episode too much longer. So I would love to have you back at a future episode. And thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, man. It's been great. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. For the listeners out there, please go ahead and reach out to Allison at Lucky Tic Tac, as well as if you love our content, love the show, like, rate, subscribe, tell your friends, do all the good things. Like Allison said, points and miles is meant to be fun. Doesn't matter if you want to ball out in Maldives or just take a domestic trip to see your aunt and uncle. You know what? Use it, embrace it, and we're here to help you revolutionize your journey, and we'll catch you on the next episode. Take care. Have a good one.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single-topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.